Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Left, and then, well, we have about 3 seconds left. Well, now we have one.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
WHKW, W245CY, Cleveland. His presence is there. Yours is requested. Go to church this Sunday, a service of Salem Media Group.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we are back, and we have a regular co-host with us on John McTernan. And we have Michael Johnson from the Slavic Gospel Association, and they are running missionaries there in Israel, missionaries in Russia to the unsaved people. And right now they are working and risking a lot to get in, bring in food and supplies to the unsaved Jews that were taken from Ukraine. And they're over to Ashkelon, which is only about 10 or 15 miles away from Gaza. And that's not a good place to be, because those rockets, you know, that misfire, you wouldn't believe how far they go out of their way. And I would imagine, Michael, that there's probably been a number of rockets land out there in that area. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'll just show you, just share a quick testimony of one of these refugees. In the Ashkelon area people on the ground connected with, and just simply read it here. He said a rocket flew into their house and destroyed the entire entrance. They had been in the basement of the house since the first days of the war, and we bring them hot food. When we told them that we believe in Christ, they were open and began listening. After the conversation, they asked us to give them Bibles and to come again. We talked about Christ the whole evening, and they wanted us to study the Bible with us. So we started a Bible study group in the basement. Please pray for these people. This is just a typical encounter with these folks that, you know, again, when they come in and they're asked, who are you and why are you here? Basically, they just say, listen, we're from the local church. God has called us to do this ministry. We understand that you've lost all hope, and we just want to minister to you both in word and deed. And what's good about it is that basically the way this is set up is they go in every week and a half to 2 weeks with food packs. They start the conversation. They continue the conversation. And now as things are settling down, they're offering that people can come to the church and pick up these resources. And that gives them an opportunity to see the church and meet some of the other people in the fellowships and begin to plug into the spiritual activities involved in those churches.
Michael, there's a lot of folks out there today. See, a lot of people don't know this, but I do, because I've been on the radio for 50 years, so I know a lot of things, and here's one of the things I know. A lot of people listening to us right now are not on the Internet. They're not on the Internet. They don't go up, so they don't go up, and they can't just look at on your website, sga.org, but they can write letters and they can send a check. Mm-hmm. Do you have an address to where people can actually send you a donation?
Yeah, I can. Well, and there's a couple of different ways apart from the internet. You can, during the day, you can call us at 1-800-BIBLE-50. That's 1-800-BIBLE-50, and we can take the call. And if you'd like,
is that the word Bible or is the number, or the word 50 or the number 50?
Bible. The word Bible. Yeah.
The word Bible, and then okay.
50. 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just 50. Okay, very good.
Yeah. Okay. And then our address is 6151 Commonwealth Drive, Loves Park, Illinois, 61111.
TH Drive, okay. I've got 6151 Commonwealth Drive, and where is that?
Loves Park, two words. Loves Park, Illinois, 61111. We're just outside of Rockford, Illinois.
Okay. 61. Okay, wait a minute. It's got to be more than 6111. No, that's not enough.
61111.
Oh, 61111.
6 and 4 1.
All right, that'll do it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's just outside of Rockford, Illinois. Okay, and that's Loves Park, Illinois. All right.
Yeah.
So. Now that, okay, folks, here's that address again. If you want to help them with supplying Bibles and food and the missionaries, believe me, missionaries deserve your help out there. Let me, the address again is SGA 6151 Commonwealth Drive, Love Park, Illinois, 6111. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
And by the way, we were the first building that was built on this street. And so because we ministered in the Commonwealth of Independent States, that's why they named it Commonwealth Drive.
Oh, okay. Very good.
FYI. The,
or the number you can call is 1-800-BIBLE-50. 1-800-BIBLE-50 if you want to call and to make a donation to help them out. Well, we're going to switch now, Michael, over to some local things. We'd love to have you stay with John and I and just give us your commentary if you'd like.
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, here we go. Here's some of the news stories. One is, we are now officially a communist third world banana republic. You know who's just said that? A fellow named General Michael Flynn. General Michael Flynn criticizes current state of the U.S., calls for Trump's return to fix this problem. So, yes, the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Federal Government convened a panel of journalists and former government advisors to discuss the systematic censorship and governmental targeting of the conservatives. The hearing featured four key testimonies that painted a dire picture of free speech in America. Matt Taibbi, Twitter Files journalist and author, testimony. Michael Schellenberger, Twitter Files, journalist, author, and environmentalist, testimony. Rupa Subramana, Canada-based journalist for the Free Press, testimony. Olivia Troy, former Homeland Security Advisor and Counterterrorism Advisor of the Office of the Vice President Pence, gave testimony. In the opening statement, Schellenberger, a journalist and environmentalists, revisited the previous testimony about the censorship industrial complex and 9 months ago and testified and provided evidence to the subcommittee about the existence of censorship industrial complex, a network of government agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security, government contractors, and big tech media platforms conspired to censor ordinary Americans and elected officials alike for holding disfavored views, said Schellenberger. So here we go, folks. We have the woke movements. And have you guys also seen how the Democrats, now Biden is using all federal workers. I don't know how many federal workers we have, but there's a couple million of them out there. He wants to activate them all in the campaign in November, next November. So what do you think about that? Michael, we'll let you go first.
Is that legal?
No, it's not legal, but listen, the Supreme Court just ruled, the Supreme Court ruled that Joe Biden could not send out 800,000 emails to students and repay student loans, that they could not do that. It was not constitutional. But Biden emails, right, to 813,000 borrowers celebrating student loan forgiveness. So he just said, look, I've just canceled $127 billion in student debt with hopes to expand those efforts to even more. But the Supreme Court said, well, you can't do that. That's not constitutional. But Biden, I guess, says we're Democrats. We don't have to abide by the law. What do you guys think?
Well, certainly I'm not surprised. And we look at all the laws that were broke during the Trump administration. And you're right. There's this sense in which that they're above the law. So if this is what they want to do, this is what they're going to do.
So do you remember in the days if a judge was involved or in some manner in a case that judge had to recuse himself from the case? Do you remember how that used to work? Well, it doesn't work that way now. And do you remember, too, back in the days when the judge would not pronounce the verdict until after the trial? In other words, going into a trial, the judge would not say, you're guilty, and now we'll hold the trial, right? And that's exactly what they're doing to Trump. That's exactly what they've done to Trump in New York and in D.C. and Atlanta. They have come out, and they've said, you're guilty, now we'll have a hearing, a trial. What do you think, Big John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, that would have been years ago grounds for, like, dismissal of the case for prejudice and all. I mean, because for a judge to act like that, that is completely ruining the whole atmosphere of the trial. It's supposed to be impartial, and only facts come out during the trial that you can work on. And, it's the grand jury is supposed to be secret until the indictment and all. Well, that's all blown away now. It's just gone, and it's rogue. They're rogue.
It's because we don't have a Department of Justice, do we? Department of Justice is simply a branch of the Democratic Communist Collective, is it not?
Yeah, and the FBI is the muscle for them.
So how do we undo this?
Well, if they do really seem to be afraid of the 24 election, that's with Trump, that's too far away. But they do seem to fear him being elected. I don't know how it could be with this corrupt election system. But my look at this, Pastor Ernie, is we're going to have to fall back on the states, the sheriffs, and, the armed citizens. That's what this is going to come down to. The states that are still American are going to have to pull together, Pastor Ernie, against this.
That's what tactical civics is all about. Are you familiar with tactical civics, Michael?
No.
Okay. Tactical civics.
I've heard of it, but I'm not in particular.
Okay. What we are doing with tactical civics is there's approximately 3,400 counties in the United States, and right now in 1,300 of those, we have chapters. And what tactical civics does, listen to this. We discovered there's this thing called the Constitution of the United States, and we also have a Bill of Rights. And in this Constitution, one of the things it demands, it's a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And in the Second Amendment demands a standing militia, that we have a standing militia. In fact, the Constitution does not demand we have a standing army. We're not supposed to have a standing army, but a standing militia. And with that, the people, listen, the people, you and me, they are to convene a grand jury, not corrupt prosecutors, not corrupt district attorneys, not corrupt judges, but the citizens, people like carpenters and plumbers and pastors and doctors, and they're to do that. And when you have a grand jury, okay, the people themselves, the militia is the authority that backs up the grand jury. The grand jury is the highest court in the land. The courts have to abide by the decision of the grand jury. And so when you have corrupt judicial, and boy, do we have corrupt judicial in this country. We really have a major problem with corrupt judicials in this country. And here in Ohio, we're working with state legislators to rein in a lot of this corrupt judicial here in Ohio. We have the ACLU and Planned Predators that are trying to go around trying to amend our Constitution here in Ohio. In other words, and they're judge shopping. They're looking for crooked judges. Now, the Bible describes these people in Hosea and Ezekiel and Jeremiah that sell themselves for money or for profit. It refers to them as whores that have gone a-whoring. So virtually, the ACLU is looking for whores here in Ohio to bring back. They want to bring back partial birth abortion. They want to remove parental rights. They want to remove all parental rights. In other words, they want to legalize pedophilia. They want to make it legal. They want to legalize sex with children at all ages. Whatever God's word, the Bible, calls abominable and a sin, that's what they want to pass here. And so we're fighting here in Ohio, and we have a campaign going to get our state legislators, because the Constitution of Ohio here is very clear that only the legislators can make the laws, okay, and the courts have to abide by the laws. They can only adjudicate the laws that the state makes. In other words, but here, these corrupt courts are trying to make laws. They're trying to legislate from the bench. And this is what Tactical Civics is all about. It's stopping that. In fact, they just had a town there in Michigan where they just got rid of every single one in the county of the county administrators. They got rid of them all and replaced them. They voted them all out, got them all out, and replaced them with ordinary citizens. And so that's what we're looking to do with Tactical Civics, is doing that around the country now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, well, that makes a lot of sense.
So like John said, we have to take it back county by county, don't we, John?
Pastor Ernie, that's the only way. The federal government is locked up. It's locked up. The Justice Department, I mean, all of it, they're all locked up. So how can we rely on them to straighten out the nation when they're the ones that are doing it? And that's why we got to fall back on the states.
Well, we have, right now, we have a real shame in America, something that I can tell you. Here, let me just, here's an article. This is out of the Gateway Pundit. GOP lawmaker confirm lawless January 6th select committee deleted witnesses' interviews. They deleted tapes before or after they disbanded the committee. Now, everybody on that committee, I'm looking at them, everyone there should be in that dirty jail, in that dirty prison where Jake Lang is, one of the fellows that we've had on this program recently. We've actually had him call in and do a program from a dirty jail there. He's been in jail for more than 1,200 days without a trial. Without a trial. Mm. And so those people, for doing, do you know what he did? He held a woman that had been beaten to death. She died in his arms. And so he's been in there along with so many other Christian patriots. And boy, I'm going to tell you, in that dirty D.C. jail, they hate Christian patriots. And so that's that. We need real justice. Representative Barry Loudermilk, chairman of the Committee on House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight, spoke with John Solomon on just the news this week on the Real American Voice. And I'm trying to, he was saying that he told the news that the taped depositions of January 6th star witnesses Cassidy Hutchinson and others testified from the original January 6th Select Committee investigation. All of those tapes, they're all gone now. And so there you go. And Benny Thompson, he should be one of the first. Benny Thompson should be one of the first to go into that dirty jail. So what do you think of that, fellas?
Well, Pastor Ernie, this goes on and on and on. There's ample evidence to show agent provocateurs in there. Up to 200 FBI agents, videos of beatings of the Patriots, the woman that was shot and killed. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of evidence to show that there was really no violence on our part. It was the police was set up. This was a setup to provoke what happened, and then arrest everybody with show trials. Well, that's exactly what happened. This is what they did. This is how the communists, all these totalitarians, this is how they operate. The Nazis operated like that. The communists operate. They call people enemies of the state. That's what the communists did, that Hitler did, the Nazis. That's exactly what they're doing here now.
I know it.
So we're in the sort of the advanced stage of a totalitarian takeover of America.
All righty. And there's another article, you know, that came out here. It's an interesting. This is from World News Daily. And it also verifies exactly what the pundit had to say. It says, Democrats running the partisan panel assembled by the ex-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi investigate the January 6th protest turned to riot at the Capitol, apparently destroyed all of the evidence. They would be all of the videotapes of witnesses of testimony. Yeah, but they don't. We have, and by the way, the new Speaker of the House has been bringing out that evidence and is showing you just how many FBI agents, rogue agents, were involved in there. That was flush with rogue agents. And I'm going to tell you, Christopher Wray belongs in he belongs in one of those dirty cells. He's behind that. And to lie, see, it used to be a crime to lie under oath to Congress. When you testified to Congress under oath, it was a crime. Christopher Wray testifies, he lies over and over. Of course, he's not going to arrest himself. Merrick Garland lies over and over. Now, Mariokas, this guy is unbelievable. Look, to sit there and say the border is secure, when you have, and under oath to say that, when you have 7 million illegals coming across the border, that guy should be more than put in jail, right? It's unbelievable. Okay, here's one. U.S. senators now are urging Biden to ban travel from China because there's a mysterious new pneumonia outbreak, a coalition. So what do you guys think about that?
It sounds like COVID-2 now. You know, they're gonna do something, Pastor Ernie. And Bill Gates has been talking about outbreak of smallpox, and next thing you know, there's some lab in, right after he spoke, some lab in Philadelphia has smallpox when they shouldn't have had it. And he said several times that there's more diseases coming. So they're not finished, Pastor Ernie. I mean, it's like in New Zealand. I was discussing with you earlier today that one government official in New Zealand that was in charge of administrating the COVID shots and keeping records, he got suspicious of so many people dying following the COVID shots. And he did like an investigation and found that there were certain batches of the COVID shots that everybody that took the shot died within a week. And they were trying to suppress it, so he brought it out in the open. And now he was arrested, and they did a search warrant of his house, and they arrested him. When this wasn't limited to one government. I mean, it's New Zealand, Australia, United States, Canada, many European countries. That COVID shot was a death shot from the beginning, and the governments were protecting it.
Well, they traced this down. We did a program a while back. We had a woman who was an ex-employee of Pfizer, and she had documented this, and they had six different types of that kill shot, but from very, very weak to lethal, it's very lethal. And all of the vials of that cold shot, all of that was sent, the very lethal, the worst, was sent to red areas where you had a lot of Republican voters. Now, you would have thought those they would have been smart enough not to take the shot, but apparently they weren't. Now, let me ask you this. How many people, because of course you cannot believe what's on what is called the mainstream media, what percentage of people do you guys actually think actually took the kill shots?
Well, I think there's various stages, Pastor Ernie. There's the first shot, second, third, fourth, it up to the fourth. But they took just COVID shot number one. I'm going to say 60%, maybe 70%.
What do you think, Michael?
I would concur with that.
Yeah, a lot of those people that took the first shot got very sick. And in fact, one of them I had warned, do not take that shot. Now, I can tell you this, Michael, right here on this radio program, 3 weeks, Michael, 3 weeks before the very first person took a shot, We did a program, and we were telling you that every single test animal that this was tested on, every one of them died. And we told people, do not take this shot. This is not, okay, a vaccine, okay? This is a bioweapon. It's a bioweapon. Now, the fellow that invented that actually came out and admitted it. He made it for the government. It's a weapon. And so, now here in Ohio, you know, in Cleveland, not far from where I'm at, the Cleveland Clinic, okay, had come out about a year ago, and they did a survey, and they found out that people that took the shots were four times more likely to contact COVID if they'd taken the shot, and therefore four times more likely to die from COVID. And so... Mm-hmm. Right after bringing that out, then they told people that shots, they encouraged people to come and get the shot. After they just told you, now, and this is how people have been so dumbed down and so programmed. And recently, our military tried to walk things back with, I mean, what was it, John? 40,000 soldiers? That were thrown out of the military for refusing the shot. Now they're begging them.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
Now they're begging them to come back, and they're not coming back now. They lost their careers. They lost everything. But now they're not coming back. And so it's an interesting thing. By the way,
well, Pastor Ernie, there is a whistleblower from the military, and that was about these whistleblowers. They're coming out left and right now. That was about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He was blowing the whistle on all the the heart attacks.
Yeah.
That the that had happened in the military from the shots, and pilots, military pilots that were having problems because of the shot.
Yeah. Mm. And you know, in Britain they had five pilots in one day. Five pilots in one day that either had heart attacks or whatever after taking the shot. And so people refused to fly on a plane if a pilot had taken a shot. And now we just did a program here just recently because right here and locally some people had surgery. They needed surgery. So they had put their blood, they had given their blood in advance because they did not want any blood that was contaminated by the COVID shot, by the kill shot. Mm-hmm. And then the Cleveland Clinic didn't want to give them, they didn't want to give them their own blood. And I don't know, well, there was a long story with that. They wanted to give them just somebody else's blood. But anyhow, so you have this organization that are out there working now, setting up things where you can, if you're going to have surgery, you can donate your own blood in advance. And hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
Shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of God. of Mary.
What shall be this lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch.
All right, that was Esty Crispin, who's going home to be with the Lord. And Brian Park, and yours truly, Pastor Ernie. And we are back, and again, I want to remind you folks tonight that we have with us Michael Johnson, and he is here from the Slavic Gospel Association, and they're trying to provide food and supplies to people that are over there, both in the Ukraine and right now what's happening in the war there in Israel, in the Gaza. And you can contact them by calling 1-800-BIBLE-50, 1-800-BIBLE-50, or you can write them at 6151 Commonwealth Drive, Loves Park. That's 6151 Commonwealth Drive, Loves Park, Illinois, 61111. Or you could just go up on the internet, if you're on the internet, to sga.org/Israel Gospel. All right. Russian lawmakers propose bill banning adoption of Russian children to countries that allow transgenderism. Here's an article. Again, this is from Home Culture and Society magazine there. Russian lawmakers have proposed a new bill that would ban Russian children from being adopted by countries that allow gender reassignment to safeguard children and ensure that they are raised in normal families and societies. Now, you know, I mean, isn't that something? I mean, don't you wish that this country was as righteous as the Russian government now?
Yeah, the Russian government, they're really attempting to position themselves as, you know, on higher ground, if you will. And they view themselves as a Christian nation because of the strong connection to the Orthodox Church. And again, you know, that part of the world and Russia adopted Orthodox Christianity in the 10th century. So they claim to have a long history of Christian faith and heritage, except for when the communists were in power and everybody was persecuted. They're trying to position themselves, and they're positioning themselves against the United States because there's just a constant barrage of stories about what is happening to us. You know, as we go through this degradation of our morality in all these areas. So I'm not surprised that they came out with this statement. The thing I am surprised about is the fact that I had thought that they had cut off adoption of Russian children many years ago to any country. So I'm not quite sure about that particular point of the article, but I'm not surprised that they would have come out with an article like this.
Well, I know that they outlawed sodomy. If you're convicted of sodomy the first time, it's either a fine or jail. The second time, you will be deported. And,
right.
Of course, they would send their sodomites here.
Yeah, I read
here
about
like
that as well. Yeah, I read about that as well. Yeah,
like other
countries. So in many ways, I mean, I think, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church is sort of an extension of the government, and so that gives them some level of credibility within Russia, you know, as sort of the religious voice of the Russian government. And these are the kinds of statements that they make on a fairly regular basis.
Michael, do you know who the largest purveyor of human trafficking and child sex trafficking in the world. Do you know who they are?
The U.S.?
The United States government. The government. Mm-hmm. The U.S. government. Yeah. We've been talking about that down there on the border. That was part of Joe Biden Obama's, who's been working directly for the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
And his job was to keep the border open and to keep the children and the human trafficking coming in. And in this country here in America, there's pedophilia is rampant. It's rampant amongst the Democratic Party. It's rampant amongst the Democratic, the leadership. Not just Democrats, but all of the wealthy elite. The wealthy elite, it's rampant in child sex trafficking. This is why the ACLU is out there trying to legalize pedophilia. And so...
I've read a number of articles about that. It's really sad.
Well, we've been on top of this for quite a while from the very beginning. What do you think about all that, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, we've discussed this. We've discussed this regularly, and how many children are missing and unaccounted for? Was it 67,000, Pastor Ernie?
That's just in one year.
It's probably more. But all that nonsense about they're so concerned about the children and all, 67,000 have no idea where they are, what happened to them. None. Zero. So, yeah, that's not counting the ones that they brought in, and they do it kind of through the legal system, and then they disappear after that. But 67,000, so where are they? No one seems to care, Pastor. And you notice that?
All right, so let me ask you this then, because this brings on, and I know the answer to this, but we know that the government officials and we know that the so-called intelligence agencies under Ray and the FBI has gone totally corrupted. The NSA, CIA, totally corrupted. We know this. But now all of a sudden, John and Michael, the FBI is making sting operations. And just recently they just arrested I don't know how many people for a major sting for pedophilia. Now, but they're not going after the top people in this. Now, for example, we told you about Pizzagate. From when we broke that stuff on Pizzagate and was telling you about it, we were attacked out there. Oh, that's just, it's all made up. It's like, it was like the Russia hoax, you know, that Russia was throwing the election in favor of Trump. Well, anyhow, guess what? Just recently... What happened? The FBI, what did they do? They arrested, what was it, 40 people they arrested in a sting operation for child sex trafficking? But now one of them was related, or was acquainted anyhow in some relation with Hillary's former people that worked with Hillary's, the Podesta brothers, both the Podesta. And so, but... You're not going to see any of the bigwigs. You're not going to see the Podesta brothers. Those at the top aren't going to go down because they can bring all of the other corrupt top officials with them, go along with them, can't they? It looks like, well, how much time do I have there? All righty. What we're going to do here tonight, John just dropped. His line just dropped out there. What we're going to is he back? Are you back now? What happened, John?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
All righty. I was just talking about the Podesta brothers and all of what, you know, none of the, well, let me just ask you this. These arrests that are being made, Are they finding throwaways? In other words, people that they're going to throw under the bus to make it appear like they're actually trying to stop the child sex trafficking?
They're not trying. There's some ulterior motive, Pastor Ernie, in this. There has to be. There's some people that they want to going rogue and they want to bring them in line. I don't know what it is, but because there's some high government officials, they haven't named them all, but one in the military, they named him. So this is, it just reeks of they're not real in this. There's something more behind the scenes going on for them to do this.
Well, to me, it's like, look, they wanted to have the appearance. You know, the Biden regime, the Democrats, they're known now. You know, people, if you say, well, what is a Democrat? A Democrat, someone who's pro-abortion, someone who's pro-homosexual, pro-sodomite marriage, pro, you know, they call trans surgeries. This, you know, it's mutilation what they're doing to these children. It's mutilation what they're doing to them. And so they want to make it appear that they're actually trying to do something to stop it when, the United States government is the one, the biggest purveyor. They're the largest sex trafficker in the country. They're bringing thousands and thousands in the middle of the night. They're putting these kids in their bus, and they're virtually selling them to people across the country. Now, we all know this. So if they really wanted to stop it, if they really wanted to stop it, couldn't the FBI put a halt to it in just a day or two?
Yeah, absolutely, they could. And Pastor Ernie, there's quite often you'll see operations for child pornography and child prostitutions and all, and 25 people will be arrested, 75. But if you look at them, they're all, like, I'm going to just say low class. This one here is different. I can't think in my memory of when there was in recent times an arrest like this, because there was a number of people arrested, high big money involved. This one guy in the military, high in the military. This is strange. This is out of the norm for the arrest we see now for these child prostitution and child pornography.
That's so. Do you think
it sticks out? It sticks out, Pastor Ernie. It doesn't fit the norm, the low class arrest for it.
So, do you think that's possible that some of these people are, they got out of line? They didn't.
Yeah. There's something going on that. You know, it's they had to do this to deal with certain people.
You know what? We're running up against the clock. Do you think that we should give Michael Johnson the opportunity to give an invitation for folks to come to the Lord from coast to coast in America?
Absolutely, Pastor.
Hey, Michael, how would you like to give the invitation from coast to coast here in America? And we're listened to in Canada and actually across the world in different countries over the internet. Would you like to give an invitation?
I would love to. You know, for me, I came to faith in Christ back in 1975.
Michael, let me just tell you, I'll give you a minute warning. When you're up against 1 minute, then I'll tell you when you have a minute left, but go ahead.
Okay. When I came to faith in Christ in 1974 in California in the tail end of the Jesus movement, I'd grown up in a mainline Christian church in Connecticut, and I thought I was a Christian. I thought I knew who Christ was. And when I got to California, I was working at a gas station, and the mechanic on duty was this sort of long-haired biker who rode a chopped-out Harley-Davidson motorcycle. And we were talking one day. And he asked me what I was going to do that night. I told him I was going to go home and drink some beer. I said, what are you doing? He said, my wife and I, we sing in the choir. We get choir practice. And I said, well, why? He said, well, we go to church every Sunday. And he said, I said, well, why? He said, well, we're Christians. And I thought, you know, I was head of the youth group. I was involved in Christian activity. And I just kind of smiled at him. I said, well, so am I. And he looked at me and said, no, you're not. So he invited me to a Bible study the next morning, and I heard the gospel that Christ died for my sins, and I had to make a decision as to whether or not I was going to reconcile my sin to Christ and walk with him. And I did just that. And God has been faithful in my wife for many, in my life for many years. And he has directed my paths, and I have followed him and all that I have done and all the major decisions of my life. And I just feel incredibly blessed that I can serve him in the way that I do. And so, you know, God does have a plan for each and every person. And he loves us. He gave his only son to die for us. And I want to make the invitation to everybody listening tonight that if you have not come to faith in Christ, if you have not reconciled yourself to God through Jesus Christ, you need to do it now. Because hell is an awful place. And that's for eternity. And you really need to understand that God does love you, and we have an opportunity to spend eternity with him. And so I plead you, pray to God and allow the Spirit to work in your heart. Come to faith in Christ, because it is such a wonderful life, and there's just, it's filled with tremendous blessings. And just the fact that we have the truth of God's word, that we can grow in our faith, is something that is quite precious. So I just put that call out to your listeners and pray that God will work in your hearts tonight.
Amen. So then the Lord Jesus gave us instructions how to pray that prayer. He said to pray to the Father in the name of the Son. And so you would pray to the Father and you would ask forgiveness of your sins. And so then you would acknowledge the fact, well, you have to acknowledge the fact that Christ was a substitutionary death. He took your place and my place upon that cross, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely.
So when you call it, you know, the Bible says, first of all, you ask for forgiveness, and then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. The Lord Jesus said you had to put him first, right? He has to come before mother and father, okay. And then you ask him again, like I said, to be Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations at all. Does God always honor a commitment? Does he always honor a commitment?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Does. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. He'll always honor that commitment. And when that happens, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And then you will have be indwelt by the Holy Spirit right then and there, won't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay.
So then, will you be on your on the road to eternal life?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. So, folks out there, when you hear the preacher give an invitation, John, the preacher is just a messenger, isn't he?
That's correct, Pastor Ernie. He's the messenger, and it's up to us to respond to the message.
All right. So can you say, well, you know, I don't, right now, I kind of want to party hardy. You know, I had a fellow tell me he wanted to party hardy, and that he was going to, when he was finished partying, he would get there, get some of that religion and get born again. But whose call is that? Who decides when your soul is required of you?
Well, the Lord, Pastor Ernie, he's the one.
So, does God ever promise us another day? I mean, does he ever promise us even five more minutes?
No. No, we have is now.
All right. Well, we only have one more minute. I can promise you guys that. In fact, we got less than one more minute. But folks out there listening, listen, it's not your call. When you hear the preacher, you may not hear another one.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather
peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.